Episode 5, on the political fringes of the EU. In a new episode dedicated to the 100 shades of the EU study on the political economy of the European Union and its peripheries by Giuseppe Gelli, Valentina Petrovic and Veronika Sushova-Salminien, we will explore some aspects of political peripherality in the European Union. The study was made possible thanks to the support of the Transform Europe Network and the Rosa Luxemburg Foundation. In our study, we have followed several paths to explain the current position of peripheral countries within the EU and their potential to influence the functioning of the EU decision-making process. In the first place, we looked at representation, i.e. the extent to which the peripheries are represented within the European bureaucracy and potentially within the European decision-making process. In the second place, we looked at the alliance-building potential of the countries in the southern and eastern wings. We look at representation, which is considered one of the main characteristics of a democratic system. The EU subscribes verbally to a democratic tradition, even if it is primarily a transnational bureaucracy. European governance today means governing in culturally, politically, and linguistically different countries and contexts. The EU claims its motto is united in diversity, but diversity seems to be a problem in practice. Why? About representation, we had literature at hand that stressed the importance of representation for a functioning democracy. Where representation does not work, democracy is in trouble in terms of voter confidence and voter turnout. For a system of representation to gain democratic legitimacy, citizens should perceive it as theirs or for them. The fact that the EU is made up of 27 national political communities, internally bound by a common political history and often ethnic and linguistic commonality, makes representation in the EU, combined with democratic legitimacy and democratic deficit, a tough nut to crack. Symbolic representation also plays a role for the EU, allowing representatives to be seen as representing a shared identity or culture. Moreover, the literature also tells us that the democratic process and its legitimacy can be undermined when a group, in our case a particular state or region, is overrepresented. In our study, we used the analysis and database of European Democracy Consulting, which looked at how different regions of the EU are represented in the highest decision-making positions in European bureaucracy and governance. The database covers 72 European entities, 89 staff or management positions, and a total of 500 officials from 1952 to 2021. The data shows the following. Since 2004, almost 51% of leadership positions were held by officials from Western Europe, 31% from Southern Europe, 8.5% from Northern Europe, and 9% from Central and Eastern Europe. However, these figures do not reflect the actual share of member states and regions in the EU. In an ideal world, Southern Europe and Central Eastern Europe should account for almost 50% of positions. In the case of the length of individual mandates, the position of Western Europe is even more pronounced. 56% go to Western Europeans, 28% to Southerners, 9% to Northerners, with only 7% going to representatives selected from among the citizens of Central and Eastern Europe. These figures show the below-average situation in Central and Eastern Europe. A look at the structure of the various offices shows that Central and Eastern Europe has a negligible representation in the EU institutions and a weak representation in the EU advisory bodies and agencies. The stronger position of Southern Europe is mainly due to the position of Italy. Without it, Southern Europe is better represented than Central Eastern Europe, but still below average in the EU context. At first glance, the overrepresentation of the core countries, i.e. Western Europe, is evident. Thus, we find that Central and Eastern Europe needs to be more represented within the European system of governance and decision-making. This is true 18 years after joining the European Union. On the contrary, the whole system of European governance is dominated by Western Europeans. Like the European Democracy Consulting Study, we do not advocate balanced EU representation. Still, we must pause to reflect on the visible lack of representation and diversity in these structures. We find very similar results if we look at the distribution of influence within the European Parliament. We have used a Vote Watch rating, which tracks and rates the influence of individual MEPs. From their rating of the top 100 most influential MEPs in 2021, which follows the leadership, legislative activity, performance and networks of contacts and individual MEPs, we found that 56 come from Western Europe, 27 from Southern Europe, 4 from Northern Europe, and 13 from Central and Eastern Europe. Most of the 13 MEPs made it to the top 100 through institutional influence, i.e. as fraction leaders or vice presidents of the European Parliament. A pattern is therefore emerging which does not appear to be random. Look at the regional representation of the 14 vice presidents of the European Parliament as the only one that has allowed a more proportional representation of all regions in the EP leadership between 2004 and 2021. The EU is not a state, but it is a complex system of governance that subscribes to democracy and must consider the national political community as an essential building block. The political diversity of the EU is a crucial context and cannot be ignored or bypassed. The EU is in a similar situation to other multinational entities in the past. The current representation of the EU is very much reminiscent of the case between the Austro-Hungarian army commands at the turn of the century. Here too, in 1897, career officers from the German-speaking centre predominated 77%, while, for example, Czechs accounted for only 4% of career officers, Poles 3%, and Hungarians only 8%. These unequal numbers reflected the power distribution in the monarchy, which eventually broke up. Therefore, the slogan, "United in Diversity," is tough to fulfil in the EU. The old patterns prevail, showing the uneven integration of countries on the periphery, namely Southern Europe and even more so Central Eastern Europe. Like the authors of a European Democracy Consulting Study, it is necessary to ask, how is this pattern contributing to the rise of Euroscepticism? The rule of the European bureaucracy can hardly be perceived as theirs or for them, especially on Europe's eastern periphery, not least because the whole process is so far removed from ordinary citizens in their countries. But it is also necessary to acknowledge the EU's democratic deficit is as much a complex problem far beyond the symbolic representation we have briefly described. Even a more balanced representation would not mean that citizens are taken into account and promoted in the decision-making process, which is now heavily interfered with, for example, by various lobbies. But even in this discipline, Central Eastern Europe is lacking. In 2019, 6.1% of lobbyists from all 11 Central and Eastern European countries were active in the EU, while Germany alone accounted for over 15%, and the core EU countries of Germany, France and the Netherlands had a total of 28% of registered lobbyists in the EU and 44.7% of all lobbyists together with Belgium. In the last podcast, we will examine whether this pattern, in which Western Europeans still dominate EU structures almost 20 years after the Eastern enlargement, is coincidental.